This is KZSU Stanford. It's Monday at noon, so it's time for another edition of the Lunch Special.
Meu país, Rio de Janeiro, em pleno mês de fevereiro, morando perto. Vivendo em Copacabana, te vendo toda semana e não podendo te amar.
Mês de fevereiro,
silêncio depois de 10 horas, muito barulho lá fora e eu não podendo tocar. Passeando pela Bahia, mas de barriga vazia, no prego sem trabalhar.
Mês de fevereiro, mês de fevereiro,
um despejo em cada ano, vivendo como cigano, quase perdendo a mobília, acabando sem a família, e a mulher perde a esperança, leva o amor e a criança. Minha viola não fala, pois se falasse também ia.
Pois se falasse também ia.
Cidade maravilhosa, cheia, encanto meu.
Cidade maravilhosa, cheia, encantos mil. Mês de fevereiro, mês de fevereiro.
Meu país, Rio de Janeiro, em pleno mês de fevereiro, morando perto do mar. Vivendo em Copacabana, te vendo toda semana e não podendo te amar.
Mês de fevereiro, mês de fevereiro.
Silêncio depois de 10 horas, muito barulho lá fora e eu não podendo tocar. Passeando pela Bahia, mas de barriga vazia, no prego sem trabalhar.
Mês de fevereiro, mês de fevereiro.
Um despejo em cada ano, vivendo como cigano, quase perdendo a mobília, acabando sem a família, e a mulher perde a esperança, leva o amor e a criança. Minha viola não fala, pois se falasse também ia.
Pois se falasse também ia. Cidade maravilhosa, cheia, encantos meus. Cidade maravilhosa, cheia, encantos meus. Cidade maravilhosa, cheia, encantos meus. Cidade maravilhosa.
And welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU. Playing all vinyl today, all 45s. So that's going to be a real treat. And we're joined today by Alan Thayer, Assistant Director in the Public Management Program at the Graduate School of Business in the Center for Social Innovation. Welcome to, actually, this is not your first time at KZSU, is it, Alan?
No, I've been here before.
Well, apparently you took training.
I did. I'm all but radio cleared.
That's great. And maybe sometime in the near future, we will hear your voice and your music like you're going to play today on these airwaves.
I certainly hope so.
You brought all 45s today. You seem to be somewhat of a vinyl, for lack of a better term, a vinyl junkie.
It's an affliction, yeah.
Isn't it, though? It ruined my life.
It's improved it in some ways, I would imagine, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it kept me alive. I wouldn't have a reason to live if it wasn't for vinyl. But we'll get into what you do around here at Stanford at the bottom of the hour. What we like to do in this first half hour is really delve into the music you brought. Is there a theme to the 45s you brought today?
I tried to just bring a selection of kind of some of my favorite artists, you know, people I've been listening to a lot lately. So it's a real mix of, you know, we got Brazilian, we got rock, we got soul, a little bit of country.
Very cool. You should be a DJ, man. Radio needs people like you.
It's been something I've been wanting to do for a while, so it's great to be able to have that opportunity at Stanford, and hopefully maybe over the summer when all the students are gone, I can sneak in here and throw some records on.
Who was that we heard right there off the bat?
That was Helio Mateus, who's a Brazilian, a sort of unsung hero of Brazilian music. From 1973, the song was called Eu Reo Me Condeno. I have no idea what that means.
And what do we got coming up?
Next is Bobby Gentry. So if any of you know any from way back when, they did Ode to Billy Joe.
Yeah.
And so this is one of my favorite tracks, only on 45, not on an album, called Department 21.
Rain on my Sunday shoes, pick up the daily news. Looks like tomorrow's blues, but it's better than none. Call on the telephone, knowing that he's not home. I'll put on the Rolling Stones and I can have me some fun. Start up a flight of stairs, stand up and comb your hair. Try not to change things more than you can withstand. Get into something new, stay for a year or two. Pick up the pieces where you think they might land. So long ago, jump on another plane. Today it's all the same. You can catch me lost, 'cause that's how it goes. I'm in apartment 21. Stop by and have some fun. Say, how you doing, you old son of a gun?
Bobby Gentry, that's a name that I haven't heard for a long time. Here with Alan Thayer today, part of the graduate school of business, and you brought all 45s. This is a real treat, man.
It's my pleasure.
And what these 45s, you go hunting them, don't you?
Oh yeah. So either flea markets. A lot of these came by the eBay, the Bay, as I like to call it.
Is it a big deal on eBay?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're looking for something in particular, chances are if you're going to find it, you can find it most quickly, but definitely not the cheapest on eBay.
Yeah, it's so rough when you get records in the mail, though, because one guy might say, it's beautiful, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm,
and then you get it and find out this guy didn't know what scratches were.
I got this record from Mexico I've been looking for a long time, sort of Mexican hard rock, and it's just unplayable. It was disappointing when I got it.
And they charged you money for it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, isn't that great? Too bad there wasn't some way to check up on that. Oh, eBay ought to work on that. Anyway, what are we going to hear next?
So the next one is definitely one of my heroes as of late. A guy by the name of Ronnie Lane. He was in the Small Faces. He was in the Faces.
Yeah.
And if you don't know those groups so much, you probably heard of Rod Stewart, who was in the Faces.
Yeah.
And so this is a compatriot of Rod Stewart's. He went solo after the Faces broke up. And this song is called How Come. I think it's actually his first single as a solo artist.
What year you think this was? Was it a long
73 or 74.
Wow, long time ago.
How come when I cut the ace off hearts, you always draw the ace off spades? How's it when your best friend brings you lilies on your birthday? But, well, these things I see, they how come, they how come. I ain't a superstitious fella, but it worried me. How come when a local clergy calls, you tell me that you shouldn't wear black? What kind of bread are you gonna bake with that hemlock in your spice rack? They how come. Superstitious, but well, these things I've seen. How come? How come? I am a superstitious fella, but well, it's me. When the moon was new, I drowned your cat. What do you say down there? I even broken up your broom. Now how come?
How come?
How come? Well, I ain't superstitious, but well, these things I've seen. Now how come?
How come?
How come?
How come?
I ain't a superstitious fella, but it worried me. Well, it's me.
breakfast table every day. Lady said, how can I serve you better every day? Look across in her big brown eyes. This is what I said. Be real, baby, be real. That's all I ask you. Baby, be real. Be real. Baby, be real. That's all I ask you. Baby, be real. Time may come, time may go, but I know I'm gonna love her so. Cause she's real, she treats me good, she says what's on her mind. Be real, baby.
Back here with Alan Thayer today, and just rock reminiscing. And Alan, why don't you go tell a story about that song and who that was and what his name was and what his real name was and
sure. That. So that record is called "Be Real" by Wayne Douglas, otherwise known as Doug Somm, and otherwise known as Sir Douglas Quintet. So legendary dude out of Texas, spent some time in the Bay Area down back in those freaky 60s hippie days, doing a mix of country and rock and soul, a lot of horns. But that was a funny record that he recorded in Nashville, trying to pull a fast one over the rednecks and see if he could get a hit on the country charts. It didn't work, but it's a great record.
That's a great thing about Collective 45s too. Each one has a story. And that's the other part of Collective 45s. You're trying to find out the story behind it.
Oh yeah, no, I just read the Doug Somm book, so I did my research.
Cool, very cool. What do we got coming up for the folks?
So this next one is a real rarity, a Bay Area rarity on Reynolds Records by a guy by the name of Steve Parks. I think he kicked around the Bay Area in the 70s and the 80s. This is a kind of a soul number with a flute in the background. I don't even know really what to call it. It's definitely soul, but a slow jam of sorts.
Myself, what I'm trying to say in such a fancy way is, girl, can I help myself to your love? It's all I'm thinking of. Ooh. What about you? Is your heart full of misery? Every now and then I sit back and reminisce about the way that things could have been. But then damaging fear can slowly enter my mind, and while out, you just can't win. And then tears, oh tears, oh, fall from. Ooh.
Music for a mellow Monday on this lunch special with Alan Thayer here at Stanford. Alan, who was that?
That was Ben Sidran on Blue Note 73. Actually, I'm looking at all the records I played, and I think all of them are from the early 70s, with no exceptions.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, but it's not surprising. I think that's the music I gravitate towards the most. I think something about 70s music. And I get so annoyed when people are like, oh, you mean disco? No. That was at the end of the 70s. There was some solid non-disco music right up on through the 70s. And it was just an organic sound. I mean, you know, it was before all the digital processing and the drum machines and all that kind of stuff. And people just knew how to play, and they knew how to record the music really well. And there was just so much creativity going on. So it's not a surprise that a lot of these records are coming from then.
Very cool. Well, let's get into it. It's the bottom of the hour. Alan Thayer, your birthplace is Portland, Oregon. You attended Georgetown University for your undergrad, 95 to 99. You went to Columbia for grad school. But there was a space in there in between when you worked for the Voice of America.
Yes, I did.
You also studied in Indonesia at the University of Indonesia for a year. And you worked for the Asia Society recently. But let's go back to this Voice of America. What's in between your undergrad and your master's? What was it like working for the Voice of America, and what were they like?
It's a government institution. It's in a big old, big old office building right off of the mall in Washington, D.C., if you've ever been down there, kind of hidden behind one of those museums. And real old school. I mean, a lot of people who've been working there since, the 70s, the 80s, weren't going anywhere. It's an interesting institution in that it does not broadcast domestically. So you have to be in a foreign country, or I think you can listen to it online these days.
You mean Americans can't hear the Voice of America?
Yeah, funny as that might sound, that's how it actually works, yeah.
I'd never talked to somebody who worked there, so I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit.
Sure.
And you were a researcher.
I was a researcher for the Asia divisions. So basically, there's one main broadcast that goes out. It's translated, but it also goes out in English. It's kind of like the BBC. It's kind of the equivalent of that, except you can't hear it here. We already went over that part. Mm-hmm. And then they have each individual language service will have its own content that they broadcast in their language to those countries. So I worked for the Asian division. So we had Indonesian broadcasts, we had Burmese broadcasts, we had Chinese was the big one, naturally, and Thai, Vietnamese, we had them all.
Interesting. And as a researcher, what did you do?
So basically, every day they would say, we got, an hour of programming, a news programming, we need some news stories. And so we would support them in pulling together double sourced stories that we thought would be relevant to their audience. So scour all the regional newspapers. It was kind of the beginning of newspapers online. So it was easy in that way. You could kind of go to the various Thai newspapers and say, okay, what's the interesting story going on in Thailand, find two copies, because it was a government, so they're not going to publish anything that just one person happened to report on. So we've had to double source our stories, and then we'd pitch them to the news team, saying, these are what we think might be interesting stories, take them or leave them. And they pick them up often. It was always fun to see a story that you picked, especially if it was a goofy one.
And who would make the final decision on what was going out?
Oh, the top editors or whatever. We'd have a daily morning meeting with the Chinese news editors, and we pitch them our stories. They'd have their own research and own stories that they'd be working on, but they kind of wanted to fill out their broadcast with other stories, and then they'd rewrite the stories based on the sources that we printed out for them.
Now, how do you get a job like that? How did you land there?
Well, I went to Georgetown, so I was already in D.C. and had a degree, and it was a BSFS, Bachelor of Science in Foreign Service, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Well, you better know, because it was your degree.
All I know is it has BS at the first, at the beginning. And I happen to know I can't even remember how it happened. Somebody knew somebody, and I had studied abroad in Indonesia. I had studied a lot about Southeast Asia. So it took knowing the region well enough to know what's a story. Mm-hmm. You can't just drop into this sort of, environment and not have any idea what you're doing.
The BS came in handy.
Absolutely.
That's very
cool. I have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of BS under my belt.
Okay, Alan Thayer, Assistant Director in the Public Management Program at the Graduate School of Business in the Center for Social Innovation. Now, let's get to just that last part.
Sure.
You're the Assistant Director and it's at the Center for Social Innovation. What does the Center for Social Innovation do inside the Graduate School of Business here at Stanford?
So basically, the Graduate School of Business, you have your traditional business school students who are coming from, Wall Street or related sort of finance sectors, and then there's the small but but growing and very vocal and active population of students who are really interested in going into the nonprofit sector, and they want to gain those skills that the business school is so known for you know, imparting upon their students in terms of management skills, in terms of presentations, how to be effective in what you do, how to work with diverse organizations, and so they take that to the nonprofit sector and also to the new class of businesses that are social purpose businesses, social enterprises is another word that they use. So the Center for Social Innovation tries to bring those diverse camps together to basically try to solve some of the major issues going on in our world. So
what's a social enterprise?
It is a business enterprise that has a social purpose. So basically, if you've heard of Kiva, Kiva is this organization that actually was started by a GSB grad that is an online platform for people to support micro lending in all around the world.
Oh, we have a spot for them in our PSA box. Yeah.
Basically, if you go in and you donate online, you say, I want to give $100 and I want it to go to to agriculture, to support small agriculture businesses. Kiva then matches your money with somebody who wants to start a business somewhere. It could be in Pakistan. It could be in other parts of the world, in Latin America and Eastern Europe, wherever it might be. And then, they loan out the money, and that helps them start their business. And so that's an idea of a social enterprise. It's using traditional business methods, but with the end goal of empowering people to start businesses that are going to affect their community in positive ways.
So does the Center for Social Innovation, which you're assistant director of, is it mostly nonprofit? That's what you guys are dealing with?
Yeah, it's a real mix, actually. So we have a lot of students that come in and they want to start a business, but a business that has a mission that is social in nature. So they'd like to make money, but they'd also like to do good at the same time.
Don't be evil.
Yeah, that's kind of our unspoken mantra. I think it's actually better than that. It's like, be good.
Very cool. That's great. Because nowadays business got a black eye since 2008, right?
Absolutely, and this is the flip side of the coin. This is business doing good, having impact in our society, and being a force for good. There's nothing inherently evil about business. Well, some people might argue against that, but I don't believe it. So.
Mixed with human nature, there is. But if you put some handcuffs on it and like a wild tiger, keep it in a cage, then it'll work.
Yeah, or give it good motivations to do good work,
sure.
and empower it to do that sort of thing. And I think that, there is human nature, but there's also human nature to do good. I mean, we wouldn't have our Mother Teresa's and our St. Francis's and all sorts of people like that if it weren't for good human nature as well.
Right, but being in the school of business, you will agree that we've seen the darkest side of how it can go wrong in the last 3 years, where all the regulations were taken off for 20 years. They took off all the handcuffs that had been carefully put on back in the Depression, after the Depression, and with those handcuffs off, saw where it could go.
Absolutely. And
we're
still paying for it, and I don't think we've solved those problems by any stretch. I think
but what you guys are doing, and the way you describe it, this is actually the if more of that could happen, it might offset,
I think it's going to offset. It's going to draw some people who might typically be interested in just making money to say, there's more to it than this.
Yeah,
you can make money and empower communities and help individuals, and it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
A lot
of people that go to grad school, like the graduate school of business, come out of, like you said, Wall Street. We were talking to Mike about that. Are you seeing folks that were involved in the in Wall Street or the banking industry that lost their jobs that are now going back to school to try to rework it out? Are you seeing some of that?
Oh, there's definitely people who are taking a break, as they like to refer to it. Yeah, I mean, we've had students, some of our star students who are working in this this public management program sector, who spent some time involved in those in the Wall Street disaster.
Really?
Firsthand, and were, you know, in a sense part of it. They might not have really been aware to what extent they were, you know, contributing to it by being in it, but they, and that's some of the, that's the reason why they actually want to go to grad school. They say, you know what, you know, I can keep going down this road and make a whole lot of money, or I can, you know, take a break, you know, sort of retool and refocus. And so we have a lot of students who came from that and never really felt like that was the right thing for them. But, you know, you go to these fancy schools, and I you know, I went to the fancy schools too, so I'm speaking firsthand. And if you want to succeed, Wall Street is one way, one place that a lot of people feel a draw to go to. Some of the most talented people go there. And if you want, if you feel you're a talented person, you might feel compelled to go down that path. But it might not necessarily jive with your own personal morality or sort of your goals in life. And so we find a lot of students who you know, did that for a few years, and you know, and then realized, you know what, there's other ways to use my skills and to use my my experience.
Alan Thayer, our guest for the hour, the assistant director in the Center for Social Innovation at the Graduate School of Business here at Stanford, brought in all 45s today. What do we have queued up for the folks right now?
So this one is by Coke Escovedo, of the Escovedo brothers, Pete and Coke.
Yeah, Pete's
Coke,
brother.
Coke passed away, I think, in the early 90s. Someone actually told me his name is pronounced Coke, if you're like... If you're down with the Chicanos, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Coke.
And this song's called Make It Sweet, and this is off of his very first solo album. And Linda Tillery, who's another Bay Area legend, is the female singing vocals on this.
Very cool.
should get together and make a happy home. I've been waiting on you for so very long. We should get together and make a happy home. Oh. 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 Thank you.
canción sencilla. Nunca me he enamorado tanto, ni tanto me ha dolido. Al mismo tiempo, soy un hombre sucio y toco una tonada sencilla.
straight out of Brooklyn. That's some great 45s today by Alan Thayer. Very quickly, Alan, briefly, who was that? That's part of the Daptone family,
the
right?
The Greater family, yeah. It was a phenomenal hand clap band, and they have one album out. They have a new one that's going to be coming out soon. Some buddies of mine who started this group, so look out for them. That was called Baby.
And before that, we heard from?
Before that was from Bonnie Prince Billy doing a cover of a Graham Nash tune, Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash fame. And that was a Spanish language version of Simple Man off of a cool tribute album of all songs from for Beginners, which was Graham Nash's incredible solo album debut.
Very cool. Now, just for lack of time, folks can go on the website Radio for All, Radio the number for All, and hear this show. It'll be archived there. Just go in their search window at Lunch Special, and they can get links there for your other project, which is you write for a publication about music called Wax Poetics.
Yes.
And they can find out more about that at waxpoetics.com, right?
Absolutely. I have a couple articles that are exclusive to the online site, but unlike most magazines these days, you actually have to buy the magazine to read the articles. So keep your eye out. They have them at Borders, Barnes & Nobles, the big sellers. You won't find them on your neighborhood magazine stand, though.
Okay. And you have to come back, because we didn't talk about that part of your life, that writing for music part, and I apologize for that. So that means you got to come back, okay?
It'd be my pleasure, Bird.
Great. Thank you, Alan Thayer. What are we going out with?
This is another new soul group called Kings Go Forth out of Milwaukee, and the song's called High on Your Love.
All right.